I have some bad news for you. You are not the most important thing in my life. You're not. You're not. And loving you is not the center of my priesthood. It's not the center of it. Loving you. You're my people. I'm your pastor. But loving you is not the center of my life, and it's not the center of my priesthood. If it was, then receiving your love in return would be this essential thing. And I would do things so that I could receive your love in return. But you're not. You're not the center of my life. And you're not, and you cannot be the center of my priesthood. Otherwise, it would destroy my priesthood. Loving Jesus and friendship with him and me worshiping him, me following him, that's the center of my life. And that's the heart of my priesthood. And it's only from doing that and having that at the very center that I'm able to any way to love you well, to serve you well. If I were to get that order mixed up, then my attempts to love you well would soon crumble. I wouldn't have the strength to love you as God is calling me to. I had a wedding yesterday in this church. And I told them, as I tell just about every married couple now, and I think it's probably, until Jesus tells me otherwise, what I'll tell every couple getting married for the rest of my priesthood. I tell them some bad news. Because I love bad news. Bad news is important, by the way, because otherwise the good news, the gospel, doesn't mean a dang thing. It doesn't mean anything. If we don't understand what the bad news is, when someone tells you, I have good news for you, when we hear the gospel, it doesn't mean a thing to us. It's like, yeah, that's nice. But if we understand what the bad news is, then all of a sudden, oh, that good news is a relief. Thank you, God, for this good news. And so I tell the couple sitting right there, right before they're about ready to make their vows and exchange rings and unite their lives entirely to one another until their last breath, I tell them what they're entering into is impossible for them. It's impossible what they're promising to each other in a few minutes. That's the bad news. It's also the truth. On their own, they do not have the strength and they don't have the resources to do what marriage calls them to do, what loving the other person with their entire life requires of them. They won't do it well. It's telling them essentially that this spouse that you're marrying, they cannot be the center of your life. If you try and make your spouse or your kids or your grandkids the center of your life, you'll destroy them and you'll destroy yourself. But here's the good news, is that in that sacrament of marriage, God will give them, if they seek him out and keep him at the center of their marriage and their life, he will give them all the resources and all the strength that they need to live out that life of marriage, which is the life of the cross. It's a life of the cross because it's a life of sacrificial love, of giving of yourself entirely. So in Jesus, in the gospel, we hear that there was a great crowd traveling with him. We hear, leading up to this in the gospel of Luke, people had seen these miracles that he had done. They had heard his powerful preaching, and they were drawn to him. But in the midst of this, he turns to them, and he tells them what discipleship is, what it means to truly follow him, to belong to him, what it means to be a Christian, not just in name only, but to be a Christian. Unless you hate your parents, your spouse, your kids, your very own life, you cannot be my disciple. He makes a strong point that what has to be at the center of our lives is worshiping him, of loving him, of following him. Because if you change that and you try and put any one of those things as good and as important as they are at the center, you will not have the resources, the material he speaks about to build the tower, right? What fool would try and sit down and build a tower without seeing if he has the resources to do it first? You won't have what it takes to do it. You won't have the strength to do it. What king would go into a battle when this other king has twice the army he has? You won't have the strength to do it. But the good news he's saying is that if you put him and worship of him and love of him and friendship with Jesus at the very center, then you will be able to love your spouse, to love your kids and your grandkids well. He's calling them to conversion, to real conversion, to an ongoing conversion. That word conversion means metanoia. It means a changing of the way that we understand and see things. It's a transformation of the whole way that we see all of reality. Because we would think, if I love my kids and my spouse, I get to put them at the center. But he's saying, no, if you want to love them well, if you want to be able to, you have to worship me because he's God. I will give you the strength. I will give you what you need. But if you take and say, make your kid or your grandkid the center of your life, you will destroy them and you'll destroy yourself. But if you put Jesus at the center, you'll build something eternal within your child, your grandchild. And you'll be able to love them well. You'll be able to love them well. He says it's even to the point of hating my own life, unless you hate your own life. He's making this emphatic point, this beautiful point of conversion, that my life is not about me. I'm not the center of my own life. But if Jesus is, in this crazy way, in this way that we can only see through the eyes of real conversion and ongoing conversion, that he gives me my life back to me better than what I gave it to him. Jesus at the center renews everything. He renews everything. It's the truth that if you seek first the kingdom of God, if you seek first friendship with Jesus, all the rest will be given unto you. All the rest will be given unto you. That's the good news.